Many of you may not know, but I actually wrote a book about yoga. It's called Feel Well, Play Well, Amazing Golf Through Whole Health. And the focus of it is for golf. However, the book is about other aspects related to yoga. And so today on the Ask Dr. Gill podcast, I want to talk about the benefits of yoga, which is a wonderful modality for mind-body healing. So stay tuned. Hello and welcome to Ask Dr. Gill. I'm your host, Dr. Gill Winkelman. And today on the podcast, what I want to talk about is the science and aspects of yoga as it relates to health. And this is a huge topic, by the way. There are tons of books about yoga, and some of them are incredibly powerful and deep. Yoga, by the way, means union, which in the traditional sense, it's about merging with spirit. In other words, you lose ego's dissolution and you're into the whatever the greater all is. It's very much, you know, originally was a religious construct. And the yoga that we know of in the United States, most people focus on just the movements, which is called the asanas. Those are the poses that are about that. But there's other aspects to yoga, and we'll talk a little bit about this. I do want to point out that what I have noticed with yoga, and a number of people at the studio that I go to have mentioned that they do it to help their anxiety. And it's really interesting to hear that. It's interesting because I think that there are subtle aspects about doing it with other people that we don't appreciate. And I'm going to get into that in the show today. So the first thing that I want to talk about with yoga is the poses themselves are designed to help various muscle groups. And I talk about this in my book as it relates to golf. And I go through the muscle groups that it's really good for. Now, there's a great movie called The Yin and Yang of Jerry Lopez that you probably watch on YouTube for free, where you used to be able to. I don't know if you still can, but that movie is about the life of Jerry Lopez. Jerry Lopez is a surfboard shaper. He's from the island of Oahu, and he doesn't live here anymore, as far as I know, but he basically surfed his whole life, and he is in his, I think he's almost 80. And recently he learned how to foil, which is basically where you're surfing on a board and underneath the board is attached this metal piece with two almost like wings. And the foil comes out, it lifts out of the water. Surfing is hard. Foiling is really hard. And the fact that he learned at such an age is incredible. And it's even more incredible when you realize that most people stop surfing in their 70s because they lose flexibility. And in the movie, he talks about that yoga actually has allowed him to continue surfing. And he actually leads yoga retreats, or he did at one point. What's interesting, though, is it's not just about the physical flexibility. It's also about mental flexibility, because oftentimes when we're challenged, we just give up. And maybe that's the aspect of the community, you know, doing it with other people that is also important that I am just thinking about as I'm talking. But when you push yourself even just a little bit and you do it a little bit each time, that creates greater strength, greater flexibility, greater ability to know, oh, I can do this. And then you can apply that in other areas of your life. And I think that's the really important piece about the movements. It's not just about the flexibility or the strength or the performance. It's about listening to your body and tuning in and knowing, oh, can I release this a little more? Can I let go here a little more? And I think that's an important piece to the movement as well, that doesn't really get enough sort of credit, if you will. The other thing about yoga and practice is there's breath involved with it. So in the practice, if you've never done yoga, oftentimes the breath serves to be the cue for each movement or hold. And I think that that awareness is important. And also, it allows you to stretch your breath so that you're not panting, but increasing your inhalations and your exhalations, which is going to calm your nervous system because it's going to activate the vagus nerve. So it also puts you in a place where you think your body is getting the message, you're safe, you can relax. It's going to lower your heart rate, lower cortisol, and allow you to focus more readily. The thing about yoga that's interesting, and I think this is something, I mean, I can definitely, you know, get benefit from this as well. But oftentimes when you're in a class, the teacher is going to say, you know, come back to your breath. Meaning you're noticing your breath, you're noticing your inhalations and exhalations. And that's such a wonderful cue for me, because I've been in classes before where I've been sort of, my mind's been wandering off into other spaces. And so this happens to us all the time. We start thinking about things that are not in the here and now. And so putting that into action as you're moving and trying to hold a pose when it's uncomfortable, that's something that you can then take off your mat and realize, oh, I can handle this. I can come back to my breath wherever I am. And I've noticed that, by the way, with my golf game when I was playing, and certainly with surfing, which is way more stressful and dangerous than golf in a lot of ways. You know, it's like, I can come back to my breathing and sit with that and realize, okay, I'm okay. Like, this is okay. So now yoga is also about meditation. And meditation, in fact, part of the purpose of yoga is to be able to sit longer in meditation. Because sitting can, if you've ever done a meditation practice or meditation retreat, sitting for a long time can be quite uncomfortable after a while. The purpose of meditation, I'll get into in a minute, but the poses help your body stay flexible so that you can sit for longer, whatever position that is. Now, oftentimes we think of meditation as sitting on a cushion cross-legged. Some people kneel. It actually changes depending on your location, and it's kind of interesting. In Thailand, for example, you're not supposed to put your feet towards the Buddha because your feet are considered unclean, and it's rude to put your feet that way. So usually people would sit on their feet, kind of on their legs compressed. And it's called Hero's Pose, if you know yoga. And sometimes you have a little bench you sit on, you put your legs, your calves are under the bench and your thighs are sitting on top of the bench, which gives you a little more space. But that compression that can happen, that's one of the yoga poses. And if you practice it as part of your practice, you can actually do it for longer. So that's part of it as well, is that physical aspect of just sitting. Meditation, by the way, is really powerful for health and healing. Slowing the mind down, reducing the fear centers, strengthening the prefrontal cortex, which then supports emotional regulation. These are the things, if you go back to the podcast I did about psychedelics, I don't know if I mentioned this in psychedelic in the podcast, but meditation is actually working in a very similar way to psychedelics in that it's working on the default mode network. And it was really interesting when they've done studies on meditation and looked at people's brains and done maps of their brains. They're expecting brain activity to slow down. And what they found was not that. It actually doesn't slow down that much. But what did happen is the default mode network changed in terms of its activity from someone who wasn't meditating or wasn't a long-term meditator. And what we think this is that we have all kinds of thoughts all the time, and our body is and our brains are doing things all the time, and there's activity all the time. But are you paying attention to it? Are you engaging it with it? Maybe that's a better way of saying it. And it's like, for example, if you are doing yoga and you start thinking about how much money is in my bank account, right? You can spin out thinking about that. But if you come back to your breath and come back to the poses, you let that go. It's not that the thought isn't there. It just floats away. And then you can come back to whatever it is that you were doing. So with that note, I'm going to take a short break. And on the other end of, I'm going to talk a little bit more about other aspects of yoga, including community health. So stay tuned. Hey, Lou, and welcome back to the Ask Dr. Gill podcast. I am your host, Dr. Gill Winkleman, and today on the podcast, I am talking about the benefits of yoga. Before I go on, I just want to say that if you have any questions or comments, please feel free to send an email to info@askdrgill.com, and I'll be happy to answer questions if possible with what you have. And if you have a show topic that you'd like to hear, that would go with that too. So, okay, so I've been talking about yoga and a little bit about meditation. Some of the other aspects of yoga actually have to do with nutrition. And one of the interesting things that from my book that I found that I am still fascinated by is how athletic performance is affected by dehydration. And if you do not drink enough water on a round of golf, you can lose as many as 4 to 6 strokes per round just from dehydration. And this applies to all kinds of things, by the way. It's not just about golf, because what I've seen is that, for example, I'll talk about myself personally. When I surf, if I become dehydrated, I notice myself not making either as good of choices in terms of wave selection, but also my coordination isn't quite the same, which, by the way, is very important in surfing. And so it's applicable to a lot of things, but it's also applicable in terms of most work situations as well. If you're dehydrated, your ability to make decisions is impaired in some way. And many people are chronically dehydrated. Hopefully not you, but just be aware that drinking enough water is an incredibly important part of nutrition. In terms of, you know, foods, the big thing that is really interesting in the yoga world is balancing food, in, you know, food with the type of body that you are or where your body is in that moment, which is a much bigger topic than I have time to talk about today. It's called Ayurvedic or Ayurveda. But there's an aspect to it that based on your body type or where your body is, you eat certain foods. To simplify it, I would say eat the colors of the rainbow, eat whole foods as much as possible, cook from scratch if you can, like Dr. Tom was saying in one of the other podcasts. Those aspects of nutrition are going to help your body function more readily. And your need for a physician and assistance decreases with that. I'm giving away one of our secrets. I mean, that's the reality. And I mean, I remember I was listening to a show one time in news, I think it was on NPR, about this study. This must have been like almost 10 years ago. And there was a study done at Carnegie Mellon on diabetes. And they wanted to see if they just supplied a month's worth of groceries of whole foods to diabetic patients, would that help them get better? This is type 2 diabetes, by the way. Their A1C within 3 months dropped from above 13 to less than 7 in 3 months. And the lead researcher was on this, interviewed by this, and he was like, it's amazing that food can actually help people feel better. I was like, how is that amazing? Like, that's how we were designed. We were designed to, if we eat right, our bodies will respond properly. And I think this is an aspect of health that doesn't, we talk about it, we know it, but we don't do it, I think. At least some of us know it and don't do it. Some of us don't know it, I guess. But it was really kind of profound for this researcher. He was an MD, by the way. You know, from my perspective, it's like, this is where the rubber hits the road. There are a few conditions, I would say, where people, I don't necessarily start with this because there are a few conditions where people will actually self-sabotage. One of which is pyrrole disorder, which I've talked about on the show before, but if you have pyrrole disorder, you are zinc and B6 deficient. And as a result of that, you tend to pick foods that are actually bad for you or only crave, you know, what we would call standard American diet foods. It's really interesting. I'm not totally sure why that is. But so, okay, getting back to yoga. The last aspect that I want to talk about is the community aspect of yoga, because I think there's a subtle aspect of this that is undervalued about doing whatever it is, you know, whatever it is that you're doing, doing it in community. And I'll talk about yoga in terms of the practice, moving through whatever the poses are, the asanas are, and breathing together. It is something that fosters a key piece, nervous system, maybe co-regulation that's happening. And I think that as one does this in the group, there is something that helps the body relax further. And the big thing I would say about yoga community or any community is, so long as there's not this pretense, judgment, backbiting, you know, whatever that is that shows up. And I mean, it shows up in different places, obviously, right? That becomes less favorable for somebody. And maybe yoga, there isn't enough time for that in the yoga community. In other words, you'd come together to do this one activity and then generally people leave. But at least while you're doing that, there's this element of non-judgment and inclusiveness, hopefully, that is healing for people. And there is a lot of evidence to support the importance of community in terms of health. If you look at the data on Blue Zone, Blue Zones are areas where people, there tends to be higher numbers of people living above 100. Community and social connections is one of the most important pieces of that. And I think that it's important to talk about this because I think that there's a subtle and tangible aspect that goes along with it. So, you know, just to kind of reiterate, yoga is not just about the movement, the asanas. It's about other aspects, about the breath work. It's about diet. It's about meditation. And these are the things that I think are important to bring out in terms of yoga that people don't really appreciate as far as it goes. So that's what I have for you today. I hope you enjoyed this. And if you have any questions or comments, please let me know. And I'll put a link below if you're interested in learning more about the book, Feel Well, Play Well, Amazing Golf Through Whole Health. And like I said, it's not just about golf. It can be applied to many other things. And I will see you next time.